God is love in that verse. 1 John 4:16. God is love. In this world today, we hear a lot about love, and a lot of love that is spoken about is not really God's love. It's something much less than God's love. And when the scripture was first written, there was different words that stood for love. But when the scriptures were translated into English, they were all those different meanings, or those different words were all put into one word, and they were put into the word love. And so it's a little confusing. So when you're reading the scripture, you have to know the difference between what that love is meaning in the scripture. But God is love. God is, that's His very essence. That's who God is love. So, and then we read here, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again of water and the Spirit. Jesus is telling Nicodemus here, you must be born again. When we were created in the beginning, and when Adam sinned, and then all the human race became under the darkness of sin, that was a spiritual, we were deprived spiritually. And we lost our relationship with God through that sin that entered the world. So God has he's put up with us. Let's put it that way. He's put up with us all down through these years in the state that we're in, sinners. But he has reached down to human beings at different times and different ways and to special people. But through Jesus Christ, through John 3:16, whosoever shall believe in the Son of God. Can we have that one up? 3:16. Maybe you have to go back to that one. Anyway, whoever should believe in the Son of God should have eternal life and not perish.
Amen.
Now the key there, I start to pay attention to the little words in the scripture. Believe in, or believe on, or to have faith through Jesus Christ. So the little words that you don't maybe just think they're that important, but they are, because it's faith in Jesus that we have in order to have eternal life. And that is the gift. The gift is eternal life. And that gift is not something that we get when we die, although we do enter into a different realm of eternal life. But John wrote, these things are written that you might know that you do have eternal life. God gave His Son to us that we might have eternal life. That's the bottom line. Do we know the cost of that love, that sacrificial love that we were given through Jesus Christ? Yes, yes. That's the one, yeah. Do we know the extent, I guess, of the Lord? We go to Revelation 1. Jesus introduces himself here. The risen Christ actually introduces himself. He says, do not be afraid. We read that a lot in Scripture. Do not be afraid. Here is the mighty one who that from eternity past is introducing himself to John here. He says, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. That's the Alpha and the Omega. He is eternal. So, when we receive Christ, we are receiving the Eternal One. He says, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. There's another scripture that precedes this one, where Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I was, and I am, and I am the one to come. Three different tenses. Jesus was from eternity past up until this day, right today, whatever date this is. He is today, and he will be for eternity future. That is the Lord that we honor today. And that is the one who is our salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Yesterday was the day of salvation. Tomorrow is going to be a day of salvation. That's the way I look at it in my life. He's always there when I need him, and he is my salvation. Okay, Revelation 3:20. He says, here I am. This is another I am of the Lord. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. This is a promise. I will come in and I will be an intimate, have an intimate relationship with you. But we have to open the door. There's no handle on the door in many of the pictures that we see of this portrayal. So we have to open the door. By faith, we open the door when we hear his voice, when we hear the word of God. And the word of God comes out from the cross. That's where the word of grace comes from, is from the cross. He's saying, here I am. Open your door. Open the door to your heart. Let me come in. Now, let us go to then Romans 5:11, if we could. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. And there's the word through. Through our Lord Jesus, we have been justified through faith in him, and now we have peace with God through him. Through whom? Through Jesus. Through him, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. There is the grace spoken of in Revelation 3:20, where he doesn't break down the door. He is gently there, knocking at the door, and I see Jesus hanging on the cross, knocking on my heart. Can't I come in? And then we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. There's joy in the hope that we Christians have. And we notice there that it says, in the glory of God. In the hope of the glory of God. Because when we receive Jesus, we receive actually his glory. In John 1st chapter, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. There's the word grace again. And grace is God's love for us, shown us in Jesus Christ. Not only so, carrying on with the scripture, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. And we all have different sufferings, some more than others. Because we know that sufferings produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. There, you can see there is a progression of character. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. That is the witness that we have within our hearts, is the love of the Lord. And I'm saying the love of the Lord. The same love that was in Jesus Christ can be in our hurt through us receiving Jesus Christ. All the spiritual gifts, hope, represented by the candles on our Advent wreath, hope and peace, joy, and today, love. Those are all spiritual gifts which are only ours through Jesus Christ, by receiving Him. I believe there's a lot of people that are believers but not receivers, and I have a great concern that that might be the problem. We need the love of Jesus in our hearts, that same sacrificial love that God showed us through Jesus. And then it goes on to say here in our scripture, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us." And it alludes there to the power of the Christ. When we didn't have Christ in our life, we were powerless. But if we receive Christ, we have power. In John 1st chapter, it says, "To as many as received Christ, He gave power to become," what? "Sons of God." That's really something when you think that that's what it's all about. And then it goes on to say, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's really something to think that of the cost that God went to and the sufferings that our Lord went to save sinners like us. I'm thinking about the Christ child coming in the manger. And we make our nativity scenes, and oh, they're so beautiful, like, you know, the little Christ child lying in the manger there. But really, Christ came into a stinking manger, a stinking stable. And so, does that have a message for us? That same little Christ child that was born in a stinking stable is the Christ that grew up and died on the cross so He could come into our stinking life and live within us and give us life, eternal life. It's wonderful. We rejoice in that. "Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved through God's or from God's wrath through Him, through Christ? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son," and that's why Christ came into the world, was to bring God, a holy God, and sinful man to a reconciliation. It says in Scripture that Jesus is the only mediator between sinful man and God. So that is the gift of God to us, to bring us into His fellowship. It says in Hebrews that through His blood we can boldly have access to the holy throne of God. "How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life?" What's that mean, through His life? You think about that. Think about the disciples. Jesus called the disciples. They followed Him for 3 years in His ministry. And one of them betrayed the Lord just before He was crucified. It really wasn't until the coming of the Holy Spirit that they really were empowered to be what God wanted them to be. And so the Lord came to the disciples at Pentecost. I once told a person one time that we cannot be saved unless we have the Holy Spirit. He thought that was an odd teaching. You never heard that before? And this was like 20-some years ago. Unless we receive Jesus spiritually into our lives, we are not saved. Now, that doesn't mean that we all of a sudden are totally like Jesus. Right? That's where grace comes in. That's God's grace. Because He's dealing with us. While we're still sinners, Christ is dealing with us. He's pointing out our wrongs and encouraging us to do what is right. And we must listen to the voice of the Lord within us. So this is the salvation that Jesus brings to us through this life that dwells in us. Okay, we'll go to 2 Peter. In this here, 2 Peter, I want to just relate here what it means here. It says here, I can't read that so well. But anyway, Peter says, make every effort to participate in the divine character of God, or divine nature of God, rather. And I can't see that there. Maybe it is. That's what I have here, but it's not. Oh, 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, 3-8. Anyway, Peter says, make every effort to participate in the divine nature of God. And then it goes on and lists a bunch of spiritual attributes of God. Those attributes can all be ours, and love is one of them. Those can all be ours, but we have to participate. Have you ever given anybody a gift that they never opened? Or have you ever received a gift that you never opened? What good's the gift? You got to participate. You got to either open it, and if you do open it, hopefully it's something you can use. Well, God gave us something that He wants us to open. He wants us to open ourselves, actually, to let the Lord in. And He wants us to use what all the spiritual blessings that are ours in the Lord. Now then, how should we respond to this great love? Well, one of them was to make every effort to participate. John 14... 15:18. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so that relates to what we're seeing here today. The world cannot accept Him, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him. He's telling this to the disciples while He's still with them. But He's relating to them what's going to happen after He goes. And He says, but you know Him, for He lives with you. He's here now with you. And He will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That promise was fulfilled at Pentecost. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. This is the way that we show our love to the Lord, is that we return the same love that He gave us. I've often said, we don't know how to love God. with the love that we were born with. We have to receive His love, and then we can love God as we should, and we can love our fellow man as we should, with God's love. It's a higher love than what we are born with. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is how we witness that we are Christ's own, by loving each other as He loved us, with a sacrificial love as He loved us. And in John 21, here is another proof of whether we love the Lord or not. Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me, Peter? If you do, feed my lambs." He asked him three times, and Peter was getting a little bit sore. But anyway, there's another way that we prove our love for our Lord, is if we feed His lambs. We'll go to Psalm 107 now, Ernest, please. Some sat in darkness. And wasn't that the way the world was when Jesus came into the world? He was the light into the world. Some sat in darkness, in the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So He subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Did you ever feel like that when you were really down and out? I felt like that a couple of times, at least, that I can relate to very strongly. And I cried out for help. Once I cried out, "Lord, if I can't be any better man than I am now, take my life. I don't even want to live any longer." Yeah, and God made Himself known to me. I felt His presence. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. We all were born in sin. We all were in bondage to sin. And we could not save ourselves. God gave us laws, but we couldn't keep the laws. He gave us His grace, and we live under grace. He puts up with us, but we have to participate in the gift He has given us, in the gifts that He gives us. So, considering the great love of God, it says here, "Let's give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for man, sinful man. For He breaks down the gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron." If you have a habit, such as I had, of drinking too much, smoking, getting mad too quickly, take it to the Lord. Cry out. And in His grace, He'll come to you. Open the door, and He'll come in. That's the blessing of the Lord. And not only that, we're not even done yet. Go to Galatians 4, please. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. The full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, "Abba, Father." So you're no longer a slave to sin, to the law, whatever. You're under grace. You are a son, and God deals with us as sons. And because if we participate in pleasing God and what He has given us, He has given us of His Spirit. And if we participate, if we please God, And it's only by the power that's at work within us that we can please God. We can't do it on our own. It is by faith in Jesus Christ and what He can do for us in our spirit that we live. But if we do so, God has made us an heir. An heir, co-heir with Christ. And we have eternal life. And we shall see the Lord and not be ashamed. There's an old hymn that says this, "What a day. What a day that will be when by His grace I shall look on His face. Oh, what a day that will be." Say amen. Amen. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for the cost that You forbear when You gave us Your Son. You knew, Lord, what the price was going to be long before You even come into this world, slain from the beginning of creation. And Lord, just come to each one of us, Lord, as You see fit. Give us the measure of Your Spirit that You see fit, Lord, and be with us in our time of trouble. We pray, Lord, in Your name, Your precious power that You give us. Without You, we can do nothing, and we live to please You and to give You all the praise and the glory, Lord, forever and ever. Amen.